Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope featuring Pastor Rick Womack.
Because of God's mercy, He saved us. I can't do enough to make it right with God. I've got to believe and say, God, your mercies are new this morning and I need them. And just like the rain is coming down on the outside, I need your mercies to reign in my life. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by His Holy Spirit. God demands, here's the deal. God demands people recognize that we are absolutely, utterly unable to save ourselves. John 6, we're going to verse 22. Go ahead and stand when you get to that scripture. We're going to read through a little bit. John 6. We'll look at verse 22. We're in this series called Who is Jesus? And so this is this version that's going to appear on the screen if you'd like to follow along is the New Living Translation. I started to preach from the NIV, but as I read more, I really just liked the way this connected. So let me go through this real quick. In this series, Who is Jesus? I'm going through some of these I am statements. You see them there. And today we're actually going to talk about the very first one, which is the first I am statement in John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. And so beginning with verse 22, you can just follow along. Jesus said, the next day the crowd had stayed, that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples, let me set it up for a minute, just real quickly. Jesus in John chapter 6, the very beginning, he feeds the 5,000 and then he walks on water. Okay. So now you know a little bit of context. Then the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far shore saw that the disciples had taken the only boat and they realized Jesus had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and they went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him, and this really that verses 22 through 24 were just context, because verses 25 through about 51 is where I'm really going to preach today. They found him on the other side of the lake and they said, or they asked, Rabbi, when did you get here? Notice the question that was asked and notice the answer that comes forth. When did you get here? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. He didn't tell them at 4 o'clock. He didn't tell them at 8:38. He said, I tell you the truth. And I tell you the truth statement is one of four times that Jesus uses this kind of phrase. Verily, verily is perhaps what it says in your New King James or King James Version. It's one of these statements that says, hey, heads up, I want to say something very important to you. So pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say. I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. Not because you understood the miraculous signs. Not because you understood. Everybody say, There you go. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you, for God the Father has given me the seal of His approval. And they replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? And Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one He has sent. And they answered, show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Heads up. Pay attention. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now He offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us this bread every day. Yep, that's us. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me even though you have seen me. However, those that the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. Like a ton of bricks. I've come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not my own. Verse 39. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of all those he has given me, but that I should raise them up at the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who see his Son and believe in him should have eternal life. I will raise them all up at the last day. And then the people began to murmur. Because that's what people do. Isn't it ironic? I mean, they made a reference to Moses already talking about manna. Just follow that whole theme out, you know. They began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And Jesus said, isn't this Jesus? Or they said, I'm sorry, not Jesus. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father has sent me. The Father who sent me draws them to me, and at that last day I will raise them up. As it is written in the Scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Verse 46, not that anyone who has ever seen the Father, only I who was sent from God have seen him. Verse 47, I tell you the truth. Heads up, pay attention. Dial into what I'm getting ready to say. That's what Jesus is saying. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of heaven. Bread of life, I'm sorry. Your ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread which I will offer so the world may live is my flesh. And then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. Seems to be a cycle here. Murmuring, arguing. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but they will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Father, give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit would say to us. We are your church. And so, God, we yield our hearts and our minds and perhaps even everything that we think we may know about this text. Lord, I just pray for revelation and understanding by your Spirit. And Lord, I also pray for application, God. Lord, it's no good if everybody shows up and just listens to me talk. God, we've got to walk this thing out. And so, Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, Holy Spirit, you would bring conviction and you would bring understanding on how we can walk this truth of your word. Your word is life. And so, God, we want to leave here and having been here, know that your word is making a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, that was a long passage. Some of those preachers, they just like three verses. I'll get to a three-verse scripture one of these days soon, okay? But that was just a lot of context. I wanted to set it up. I wanted you to understand. Really wasn't even planning to start in verse 22 until just yesterday. I was originally going to start in 25, and we'll mostly be spending our time there. But let's go back through it again real quickly. Who is Jesus? I want to give you five things. I want to encourage you to take notes on the back of your bulletin. That's why we printed it on two sides, so you can take notes and you can write down what is the Holy Spirit saying to me at the end of it, okay? Everybody good? Y'all help me preach today, okay? Thank you, Constance. Who is Jesus? First thing I want to say to you with this question, who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who calls us from a life of matter to a life that matters. So jot that down. Jesus is the one who calls us from a life of matter to a life that matters. What are you talking about, a life of matter, Rick? I'm talking about the propensity, the desire that most of the world feeds to us to always accumulate more. Now, y'all, most of everybody here, you know, I moved. I like to say I moved this past week. It was a 2-week move. It's the worst thing ever. Don't ever move around the corner. Because you think, I'll just move a little bit at a time. Worst idea ever. I'm telling you. Get it all, put it in a big truck, move it all at once and be done with it. Okay? That's just my 2 cents. But one of the things that moving reveals to me is just how much matter I have. And the guys that helped us move from Northeast Georgia, y'all just keep quiet on this part here because y'all, Steve, why are you chuckling so hard? There was a lot of matter, and I purged some matter, and I still had matter. It multiplied, I think. But Jesus is the one who calls us from a life of matter. Let me give you another word for it, materialism. Jesus is the one who calls us from a life of matter or materialism, setting up things and matter as a God that we're constantly in pursuit of. How do you see this in this passage? I'm glad you ask. I'm going to go through most of the passage again, but I'm going to read it and then I'm going to dig in a little bit. The next day, the crowd, okay, we already read that. They found him on the other side of the lake. And they said, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you. You just want to be with me because I met your need in that moment. You don't really want to be with me because you want to be my disciple. You want to be with me because you want to get the benefits that you get from being with me. Amen. And Jesus is challenging them in this moment. I tell you the truth. In other words, heads up, listen up. Verily, verily. That's always fun to say. Verily, verily, I tell you the truth. Pay attention to what I'm saying here. Jesus is speaking. You only want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood. Not because you understood. He rebukes them for this materialistic desire, and he rebukes them for this lack of understanding. They saw miraculous signs. Jesus had fed 5,000 people. He had walked on the water. But you know what they take away from it? How can you meet my next need? Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one that calls us from a life of materialism or matter into a life that matters. A life lived with significance and purpose. I want to say this. I spoke to the youth on Wednesday night. Some of them are in the nursery this morning in kids' church, I know. But I challenged our youth, our young people on Wednesday night. Every one of them need to understand this. And your children, your grandchildren, your nephews and nieces, your great nephews and nieces, your neighbors down the street, they need to know and they need to understand this one thing right here. You ready? They need to know and understand this one thing right here. Are you ready? Yes. All right. They need to know they were created with purpose. Because there are a lot of people in the world that are writing them off and checking them off. And everything in the world is beating into their head. These are the worst words ever. If anybody's ever said this to you, I want to break this lie off of your life. You'll never amount to anything. That's a lie. That's absolutely a lie from hell. And it may have come to you through a coach. It may come to you from an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent. But I want you to understand something this morning. You were created with purpose. And along with that purpose comes a responsibility. And that responsibility is for you to walk in the fullness of that purpose so that God's kingdom can be more revealed and more understood in and through your life. I had a pastor friend. I've shared this story before, I'm pretty sure. A pastor friend of mine who I was working retail at the time, and he says, he calls me or something, and what are you doing? I said, I'm killing time. He rebuked me. He really, and I needed it. He said, Rick, that's the worst phrase ever. Don't kill time, redeem the time. Make it count for something. Hey, Rick, you're just getting hung up on words. No, I'm really thinking about that. And I'm like, you know what? It is easy to kill time, isn't it? Idle time. Redeem the time. Jesus says to him, I fed you not because, I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of His approval. God the Father has given him the seal of His approval. He's not condoning laziness. He's just saying that whatever you put your efforts into, make sure that you put your efforts into something that lasts forever, something eternal, something that has value. Physical food is short-lived, right? Going back to the whole moving thing, that's one of the best ways to clean out the refrigerator. Let me just tell you. You know you can find science projects in there? And Jesus says, you know, perishable things like food. It's true. They definitely perish after a while. And Jesus is telling us here in this passage, He's saying, don't put your efforts and your energy into something where you're just spinning your wheels. Put your efforts and your energy into something that's going to have value and last and has purpose. Something that's going to give life. Something that's going to influence eternity. Here's the deal, people. They were following Jesus because of what they could get out of Him. People do that, don't we? We follow Jesus for the wrong reason. But Jesus will have none of it. Some people follow Jesus to justify their own prejudice. Some people just follow Jesus to support their own politics. You should never talk about politics in the church. I've said it before. As we're getting ready to go into this presidential deal again, can I tell you something? It's not the agenda of a donkey and it's not the agenda of an elephant that matters. It's the agenda of a lamb. It's the Lamb of God. So I don't care if you're a donkey or an elephant. The lamb better be first in your life. Some people follow Jesus to support their own politics. Some people follow Jesus just to confirm their own culture so they can live and say, well, this is the way it's got to be. My freshman year at Emmanuel College, I had a I had a roommate. I really think Elvis was a second cousin to him. He was a short lived roommate. And this guy, sharp, brilliant guy, hardworking student, studied, diligent, prayed. But I'm going to tell you something. He was so eaten up with prejudice. He cannot stand any other race than his own race. And it was the same as mine. He ended up instigating two fights, which I happened to have the privilege of being an audience to. First one was in my room, our room, right after prayer meeting one night. You know you're having prayer when you got a fight right after, you know it? Come on now. And he started running his mouth and talking down to African American, or about African, there were no black folks present in the room. I don't recall there were. But this one guy, his name is Jerry, short, little stocky, about 5 foot ten, but tall and about 5 foot ten wide. He just had enough of it. And this was after prayer meeting. It was kind of interesting. I don't know why I'm telling you this story, but I'm going to help you in a second. he just decides to shut him down. He's like, you know what? I've heard enough of this. So he picks him up, pushes him up against the wall, and the light switch is behind him. So when he comes down, the lights go out. It's the night the lights went out in Georgia. The second time was in the kind of the TV lobby area where people would just congregate and hang out and watch TV. And this time he actually got into it with a black guy. And both times I got called into the dean's office because I was an audience. The second time, the dean, who, by the way, is now the president of Emmanuel College, Ron White, for those of you who know Dr. White, I sit down across from his desk, and he said, well, Rick, here we are again. He said, what's going on? I said, he's a troublemaker. He instigates everything. He's going to get shut down. He's going to keep getting beaten, frankly. I know, it's Emmanuel College. It's a Christian college, right? Here's the deal. This guy, and I haven't used his name on purpose, but this guy used Jesus to confirm his prejudices in his culture. He misinterpreted and twisted Scripture to make it fit his case, and he was absolutely wrong. And I'm going to tell you something. That guy had a 4.0 average. I mean, every extra point question on a test, he would nail it. Now, I don't know the history of Emmanuel College, but I can tell you the history that I had with Emmanuel College. I've never known a 4.0 student asked not to come back. Don't come back. You don't need to be here. It's kind of the same scenario here. You're only following me based on what you can get from me. And Jesus is challenging their thinking. You don't follow him because of benefits or what he can do for you. You follow him because he's Lord and you're his disciple. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who calls us from a life of matter to a life that matters. Excuse me. Who is Jesus? Point number two. Jesus is the one who calls us away from earning our way to God to yearning our way to God. See, there's this idea that the crowd has, the people have, that if we can just do what we're supposed to do, y'all hang on. No real good way to do that, so sorry. There's this idea that if we can just do what we're supposed to do, if we can just work our way and do the right things, then we'll have acceptance with God. God will suddenly say, yes, that's my beloved. Yes, that's my son. And Jesus is the one who calls us away from this idea or this life or this understanding that we can earn our way to God into a place where we yearn. What is yearn? Yearn is a deep down pursuit. It's a passion. It's not something you do so you can check mark to get to heaven. It's a deep embedded desire inside of your life. And Jesus is calling us to understand you can't work your way into a relationship with God. You've got to love God. You've got to want God. You've got to go into your place and you've got to declare freedom reigns in this place. You've got to understand that God is for you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You've got to go with God and have this desire that no matter what's going on in the world around me, I'll not be shaken. I'll not be moved. I'll not back down because my God is for me. It's not something I can't teach enough Sunday school lessons to get to heaven, folk. I can't do it. And neither can you. Now don't y'all stop teaching Sunday school, okay? Where do you see that, Rick? They replied, we want to perform God's works too. What should we do? We want to do it too. What should we do? And Jesus helps them. This is the only work that God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. They say, show us a sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? Jesus, do another trick. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. After all, and then they get really religious. Okay? After all, Moses, our ancestors, they start quoting scripture. Jesus, do another trick. So I'm going to throw some scripture in there so it sounds really good. Our ancestors, they ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scriptures say Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat. Don't I sound good? Here's the deal. The people understood that Jesus was telling them there's a requirement. There is a requirement. But it's not what you think. And no amount of scripture that you stack on what you think will make it right. Because what ultimately matters is this. That fourth line down halfway through. Believe. Believe. Believe in the one he has sent. They wanted to earn God's favor. They wanted to work their way. They wanted to please God by what they were doing. And Jesus begins to challenge their thinking. They can't please God by what you're doing alone. There's only one thing that God requires. You need to put your trust in Him. People can't please God by good works. Let me give you some scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, Paul writing, he says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by works, that any man should boast." Titus chapter 3, verse 5. "He saved us not because of righteous things we have done." He didn't save us because of what we did, but because of His mercy. Because of God's mercy, He saved us. I can't do enough to make it right with God. I've got to believe and say, God, your mercies are new this morning and I need them. And just like the rain is coming down on the outside, I need your mercies to rain in my life. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by His Holy Spirit. God demands, here's the deal, God demands people recognize that we are absolutely, utterly unable to save ourselves. And we have to receive His gift. Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can't work it. Verse 30 and 31, they answered, "Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe. What can you do after all?" After all, our ancestors ate manna. Moses gave them bread from heaven. They thought, I want you to get this, because this is the part of faith and living as a believer in Christ that probably messes so many of us up. But they thought that God's divine order was this: I'll see it and I'll believe it. But that's not right. God's order is, I'll believe it and then I'll see it. I'll believe it. John 11:40. Jot that one down. You need to write that down next to it. John 11:40. "Did I not tell you that if you will believe, you will see the glory of God?" If you will believe, then you will see the glory of God. Who is Jesus? Point number three. Jesus is the one who points us to the fact that God is our only source. Jesus is the one who points us to God as our source. Look with me at verses 32 through 4. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth," Here's that verily, verily thing again. Heads up. Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. Let me correct your thinking here. You're going to throw scripture at me. You're going to throw history at me. Let me help you bring some understanding. By the way, I am the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. The Word of God understood the Word of God. I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. My Father did. True bread from God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, give us this bread every single day. And Jesus here, as the one who is taking apart their misunderstanding, he's helping them to get it right, that God is their only source. First thing he helps them to see is that God gave the manna, not Moses. Second thing that he helped them to see is that God still gives manna. God still gives manna. Not just in the past, but he gives manna now. And now he offers you. And now he offers you. Present. Now he offers you. And the third thing that he helped them understand is that the true bread from heaven is Jesus. It's not manna. So Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He's not talking about manna. He's talking about himself. Physical bread was not the issue. The issue was the spiritual bread. Bread is a big deal. In a lot of parts of the world, bread is a big deal. In Jesus' day, bread is a staple. It's at every meal. I like some bread. Anybody else? Y'all like, who likes some garlic bread? How about that Texas toast? That's got to be healthy for you, right? I'll have nothing from the nurses this morning. No comments. I just happen to believe Krispy Kreme is bread. I got amens from this side over here. That's a stretch, but it's pretty much the same stuff. Bread is a big deal. Jesus is fasting in the desert and Satan tempts him. He urges him to turn the stones into bread. Jesus teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. And here Jesus is, and he's helping us to understand that he is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. He's the source of life. Verse 33. Oh, I'm way ahead. True bread of God is the one who comes down from the heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, give us this bread every day. They still don't get it. Like the woman at the well, they're asking for better food. They don't get it. They're missing the point. Give us this day. Give us this bread every day. Not only do they want the bread, they want it forever. The Israelites only got it for 40 years. They didn't put an end date on it. We want it. We want what you have every day, Jesus. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the one who helps us understand that believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. It's not seeing as believing. Verse 35 through 7, Jesus replies, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you've seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. Jesus confronts them. He's not talking to them about a commodity. He's not talking to them about food. You know what he's talking to them about? He's talking to them about a person. And they don't get it. There's a disconnect. Jesus is also helping them to see, you know what? This relationship with me, it's not something that's temporal. It's something that's eternal. bread of life, bread that provides life. In our Western culture, bread is optional. I like the Italian restaurants where they bring you the bread before the food gets there, because I'm usually hungry as soon as I walk in and smell it, right? I think Mexican restaurants, they kind of got their version of it with the chips and salsa. I'm good with that too. In our culture, bread is optional. But in their culture, bread is a staple. And I want you to see what he says about this staple. Whoever comes, the second line down, whoever comes to me will never. There's an emphasis there in the original language. No, not ever be hungry again. He uses that word again in the next sentence. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The nevers are emphatic. By no means, not even at any time. That's one definition I came across. By no means, not even at any time. Never be hungry. Never be thirsty. And then in verse 36, but you haven't believed me. And Jesus gives them the rebuke. You haven't believed me, even though you have seen me. They still lack faith. They still aren't connecting the dots. Verse 38 through 40, I'm going to skip through, and I'm going to get to verse 46, 7. I'm going to give you the last one for the sake of time. Who is Jesus? Jesus is our sustenance, he's our strength, he's our provision, and he's our provider for daily life and for daily living. That's who he is. Who is Jesus? And who is he to you? In your heart today, who is he? Is he your source of strength, or are you just trying to muster up the strength and go at it alone? Is he your provider? Or do you just feel like, you know what, if I can just work hard another 30 hours this week, I'll make ends meet. Now, I'm not saying you may not have to work hard. You may have to work 30 more hours this week, but I want us all to understand something in here. He is our provider. He is the one. You will never be hungry again. You'll never be thirsty. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. How many times in your life have you declared that scripture over your life? I know I have. Come on now. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. Jesus is our sustenance. He's our strength. He's our provision and our provider. And he says this in verse 47, 8, and 9. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Those two verses right there are summary statements. Four times he uses that I tell you the truth thing. You remember? Four times he uses it. Four times he's trying to get them to really dial into what he's saying. Pay attention to what is going on here. And he says this, he who believes has eternal life. Present tense. He who has a continuing trust in him. What is the life of a believer characterized by? The life of a believer is characterized by someone who is present tense believing. In other words, there is a constant and a continual trust in my God that he is my provider. I don't get wishy-washy, and it's tough sometimes because I get wishy-washy. I know I'm not the only one in here. But I'm challenged when I read these words and I look at it in the original language. It says, is present tense. He who believes, anyone who believes is present tense. It's a continuing trust. And he has everlasting or eternal life. It's also present. It's a possession that I don't just possess one day. It's something I possess now. I don't have to worry. Worry is not the right word. I don't have to just stake my claim on what's going to happen at the glory land in the sweet by and by when I get to heaven. I'm trying to throw as many hymns together as I can in one sentence. When we all get to heaven, I was reading the lyrics again last night. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. I was thinking about that song. He doeth all things well, doesn't he? You know, the thing is that heaven is our destination. But Jesus in this passage is helping us to understand that eternal life is something that we have now. Anyone who believes in me, present tense, you now possess eternal life. It's yours. So why do we live so below the standard of where Jesus calls us to? Maybe we need to ask that question. Do we really know him? Do we know him like we think we know him? See, it's easy to get comfortable in Jesus, isn't it? Come on. Especially if you've been brought up in church all your life. I've been in Mountain Gap. I've been holding this pew down since they installed it. It's so easy to get comfortable, cushy. Who's Jesus? Jesus is the one who calls us from a life of matter to a life that matters. He's the one who calls us away from earning our way to God to yearning our way to God. He's the one who points us to God as our source and our only source. He's the one who helps us to understand that believing is seeing. And Jesus is the one. That's a typo. Jesus is our sustenance, strength, provision, and provider. Sorry about that, guys. Who is Jesus? Who is he to you? Let me ask that question. Have you tried to set yourself up as the source? Jesus helps us to understand John 6. Manna is temporary, but the bread that he offers, which is himself, is eternal. It's not going away. It doesn't perish. It's not a science project in the back of the refrigerator. Well, or is it? Let me ask you a question. I want to ask you to stand together. We're going to wrap up this morning. Let me ask you a question. Is this relationship with Jesus that you walk in, that you presently have, is it a science project in the back of the refrigerator? Or are you receiving from Jesus the sustenance and the strength, the provision that you need on a daily basis? Guys, I want to tell you something this morning. He's all you need. He's all you need. But Rick, you don't know how entangled my life is. Okay, but he does. And truth be told, everybody else in here has got an entangled and messed up life too. Come on, we all got dysfunctional family, right? Some of y'all are family. Don't pick on each other in your mind. Just kidding. It's everybody outside the church today. Here's the deal, guys. No matter how dysfunctional or entangled your family or your life is, Jesus is boldly making it known to us that we don't come to him just for what we can get out of him. We come to him because we need him. And when we come to him and we need him, we will never hunger and we will never thirst again. Ever. No, not ever. Done. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to ask everyone to bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment. I'm going to give you a bold question to think about this morning. You ready for it? Here it is. Do you know this Jesus? Do you know this Jesus? I want you to think about that for a minute. Maybe you've showed up here for 13 years or 38 years. You can still be here and not know him. Do you know this Jesus? Now I want to ask you to respond to that question. If you need to know this Jesus this morning, I want to give you that chance to know him. And it's going to take some boldness on your part. I'm actually going to ask you to come to the front and let me pray for you. That takes courage, I know. But I want to tell you something this morning. His love for you is courageous. Amen. And his love is never ending. And I want you to know this morning that his love is available to you. So real quickly, I'm going to ask you again, do you know this Jesus? Do you want to know this Jesus today? Who is Jesus? He's the Son of God who took your sins and my sins upon his back and upon his life. He died on the cross to make things right so I could have access to my Creator, my Father. Do you know this Jesus? If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to ask you just to simply step out from where you are and join me up here at this front altar. Or if you're far from him today and you realize, I need to make things right. I want to tell you this is a great day to do that. So do you need to know Jesus today? If that's you, will you step out right now where you are and come join me at the front?
Today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.